I always find it amusing how preachers will have that page marked in their Bibles ahead of time. They'll say, turn in the Bible to Proverbs chapter 8. And then they start reading right away. They're like, whoa, I didn't have a chance to open it. So I'm going to give you a chance to open it. And in this case, I did mark my spot. Proverbs chapter 8. The Bible says this. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Now think about this for a minute. You got wisdom. We're going to give her a persona, if you will. And so we refer to wisdom as a her. And she's standing at the high places in the way, in the places of the path. So wisdom, we've often pictured, if you needed wisdom, is to climb the high mountain and there's a guy sitting there with his legs crossed and you go seek wisdom from this person on a high mountain somewhere way off in the middle of nowhere. And yet here the Bible's talking about wisdom is right there. It's on the high places by the street, the paths, the gates, the places we go. It's we have no excuse. Why we didn't understand something or why we didn't gain the wisdom or the understanding that the wisdom was crying out for unto us, because it's where we are. It's out there ready for the grasping. Verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination in my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. So we see here, and I'm going to keep going in a minute, but we see here, wisdom is in the places where we go, in the places that we are, crying out. And verse 10, or 9, and they are plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. So it seems to make sense. We're going to jump down to verse 32. All these other verses we're talking about sort of giving wisdom the credentials and the value of wisdom and its credentials and where it was before everything happened. Verse 32, we jump down there and it says, now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instructions and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all that hate me love death. If I had a title, the title of my sermon is What Do You Hear? We're talking about wisdom. Standing. It's not just about wisdom, but it's an interesting thing because wisdom standing on the high places, in the paths we go, at the gates that we are at, the places that we hang out, and it's telling us, I've got a simple message for you. I've got something that you need to understand. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to me. And then it tells us there's a lot of things we can get if we're listening. And it says that whoever findeth me findeth life and obtain favor of the Lord. And it's talking about a wise man that's seeking it, looking for it, going after it. Okay? So why is it that wisdom is crying out and some people hear it and some people don't? That's the question. What do you hear? Let's pray. Dear God, we need you, Lord. I pray, God, that you open our hearts and minds and help us to hear the truth that you have for us. And, Lord, sometimes the truth you have for somebody is in the verses read, sometimes in the song sang, sometimes a statement that was thrown out that wasn't always necessarily part of the sermon. But you know what we need, Lord. And so I pray that you give us that. And, Lord, help us to just love you more each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Wisdom is crying out. Some people hear it, and some people don't. There's sometimes, you look at, often I'll read in the Bible, and I'll read the story of Lazarus when Jesus raised him from the dead. He was dead for 3 days. There was no question about it. It wasn't like this was, some people thought this, they were tricking him. They weren't tricking anybody. Everybody knew in the city, Lazarus had died. They put him in the grave. He was wrapped all up. The door was closed. You don't open that back up because it smells bad. And then 3 days later, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes hopping out of the grave. And they unwrap him. And here's a man that was dead. And now he lives. And so everybody who knew the story, everybody that was there that saw it, not all of them accepted Jesus as your Savior. Not all of them, even the Pharisees, sought to kill Lazarus because his story was gave credibility to Jesus. So here's the Pharisees that knew the story was true, but they just didn't want to give Jesus credit. And so they were not seeking wisdom. They saw the event, but they couldn't see it like God saw it. So wisdom, let me back up for a minute. As Pastor has said over and over, is just simply thinking like God thinks, right? So if we're going to gain true wisdom, wisdom that we're talking about here in the Bible is the wisdom to think like God thinks. And so what we have to do is figure out how come some people hear it and some people don't. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why I think there is that people don't hear wisdom and they reject it. First of all, it's lifestyle. In John 3:19, the Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The light was Jesus Christ, and he came into the world to teach, to win the world back to God. Sin had separated man from God, and Jesus had come to the world to bring man and God back together. That happened at the cross and the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And but people reject that truth of Jesus, reject the truth that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And some people don't even want to think about what happens after they after death and after we're done with this world. They only live in the moment. Their lifestyle is going to determine, or rather is going to determine, whether they get to spend forever in heaven with God or forever with in hell without God. And they did that just because they chose rather... They chose the darkness rather than light because their lifestyle, their deeds were evil. There's a sound. So Jesus, the Bible said that about Jesus, it says here that but he that entereth in by the door, in John chapter 10, we're talking about Jesus here, and it refers to Jesus. He said here, the sheep, that's us, hear his voice, and he calleth the sheep by name and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, the voice of Jesus. And the strangers will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And we're talking about knowing the sound of Jesus, or when Jesus is talking, and that sometimes in life, our lifestyles will live us in such a way that we drown out the truth of what wisdom is crying to us. Jesus was the way to heaven, but wisdom is standing on the high places and the pathways, standing at the gate of the city and crying out, but we can't hear it because of our lifestyle, because of sin. Sometimes sin will drown that out. We know this in the when God was talking to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, there's a city over here. It's called Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous. He said, I'm going to destroy it. Their cry is very great. Their sin just cried out to God. We know that when Cain and Abel, the first sin, not the first sin, but the first murder in the Bible, when Cain killed Abel, God said, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So there's a thing that happens sometimes with sin in our life keeps us from being able to hear what wisdom is saying on the high places and the pathways or in the entryway to the gate. I remember one time I walked into Bullwinkle's. Anybody been to Bullwinkle's? I walked into Bullwinkle's one time. I was taking lunch. I think I was going to go in there and take a few swings in the batting cage. But I walked in the door. All of the video games were cranked up loud. They had music going on. They had some other activities. And there was just this cacophony of noise. Literally, about five steps into that building, I hit this wall of noise. And it's like my senses just shut down. My thinking just shut down. I didn't, like, why am I here? What am I doing? And then I just kind of looked around and said, I can't handle this. So I turned around and left. So what happened was, then I was driving down the road, and I saw a car next to me, and you could feel his music. Anybody have been there? You remember? You know that guy? Boom, boom, boom. Giving me a headache. But, you know, it occurred to me that they're sitting there with their music cranked up so loud because their life, they're having such a difficult time dealing with their life, they're just shutting everything out. So they turn the music up so loud, they can't hear their thinking, they can't hear the problems they're dealing with, it's their way of escaping their world, the world they live in, the problems they're dealing with. The music, the music, the loudness of it will keep you from being able to hear what needs to be heard. Wisdom, crying in the street, seeing what happens. There's sometimes, instead of listening to the call of wisdom in the streets, there'll be people who hear the call of drugs. I was reading a book about a guy who he was in the special forces. He was a Navy SEAL, and he got into drugs out of high school. Ended up getting really caught up in meth and some pretty bad drugs. He was addicted, and he got himself kind of cleaned up and got into the special forces. It was a miracle that he was able to get into the special forces as a SEAL, because normally wouldn't take people who have drug problems in there. And but he'd straighten things up. But one night he didn't come home, and his wife said, "I know what happened." He got that call, and he said, "This is what he said." He said, "I was driving down the road, and I saw this guy at a gas station. I could tell by the look in his eyes that he was a dealer. And that call of the drugs, he heard that call. I wouldn't know that. I couldn't drive down the road and recognize that, because I've never given into that particular sin. But he heard that call of the drugs. There's a call of alcohol." There's a call of pornography, these things that drive you away from being able to hear what God wants you to hear, a lifestyle that keeps you from being able to hear what wisdom is saying. That's why you watch the news and you see people in politics are at such opposite ends. And you're like, how can two people see the same event and read it in two completely different ways? It's because their lifestyle will determine how they view what's going on. And to some degree, we all do that. And the trick is to figure out, since I know that I have a sin nature, then I have to figure out if I'm listening or if I'm paying attention to the circumstances, figure out how God sees it and line myself up with what God sees and how God sees it. And so I want to hear wisdom crying. I want to hear what wisdom has to say there at the entry of the city, of the gate. And I want to know what God wants me, how God wants me to view the events in life. And when it comes to politics, when it comes to voting, I always try to vote. What does God think? How does God want me to vote? And I take the Bible and I kind of match it up as best I can, know how to, from what God says. Just vote like God, like line it up with the way the Bible says. And sometimes you get so caught up in things that you can't hear because you've let the sound of sin drown everything out. And sometimes we can't hear what wisdom has to say because we're too busy. We're just so busy. We got a place to be. We got things to do. We got events happening, and they're real things. They're legitimate things, and they're good things. But we're just too busy. In fact, the devil wants us, I believe, to be too busy. Too busy for God. If we're so caught up in trying to make money for our mortgage payment and trying to pay off the car and trying to work all the time and running to and fro, and these aren't bad things. But you got to watch out for your life. Pay attention to what's happening so that you don't get caught up in just being too busy. Somebody once said you make God the center of your life and the circumference will take care of itself. You just make God the focus and the most important part, and then everything else will kind of fall in line. But sometimes we just get so busy. I've been guilty of it. So busy, I got home at the end of the day, and I hadn't picked up my Bible. Why? Because I was too busy. Too busy. And too busy for God is not a good place to be. So you got to pay attention when you get really busy. I don't want to miss things. You know, sometimes you got to slow down, smell the roses. It's a good thing. You watch, you just got to slow down a little bit. There's an account in the Bible in the 1 Kings chapter 19. God told Elijah, he said, "I want you to go up to this mountain. So I'm going to meet you there." So Elijah went up to the mountain, and he was waiting for God to be there, and there was a great wind came blowing by. And Elijah said, surely God's in that wind. He's got to be in that wind. Powerful, powerful wind. Probably, if I had to guess, I would say that it was a tornado came rolling through. That's how I envision it when it talks about that strong wind and rocks are being thrown, trees uprooted, just a powerful, powerful wind. And but God was not in the wind. And after the wind, there came an earthquake. And Elijah said, surely God must be there in the earthquake. But God was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. And I think in my mind, the fire was probably a volcano going off somewhere. I don't know if that's true exactly or how the fire rolled out, but there was a fire. But God was not in the fire. The Bible says after the fire, there was a still small voice. Sometimes we get so busy. And we're going from thing to thing, and our mind is concentrating on the next task or where I've got to go. I've got to get the schedule. I've got to get the kids to this thing, and I've got to go to pick up these items. And then you got so many things just going, going, going. And they're not bad. I mean, it's not bad, but sometimes you just got to take a step back, take a breath, and then just, what do you want, God? Because he's just a still small voice. He's not going to be demanding. But we desperately need to be able to hear from God. And so we need to slow down sometimes. That's why it's nice to just take the Bible and not have any distractions and just sit down and say, God, I just want to learn from you right now. Can I just learn from you? And just open it up and start reading it. And it's not unusual for me when I'm alone to start reading it out loud, because then I can see it and hear it at the same time, and it just helps me put into perspective everything that's there. So wisdom's crying. It's there at the gates. It's there at the pathways. It's there where we are. God's there where we are, trying to tell us something. And there's those of us who aren't listening. And then, so what are we going to do? If you're one of those ones, how do you hear? Well, you know, I got a radio in my car, and I want to listen to a radio station. I have to turn the dial and tune in that radio station. Now you got a lot of digital buttons. You just push the button and it's all pops there. But used to be you'd kind of go up and down, and then the radio signals weren't always really strong depending on where you were at. So you'd have a pretty good signal, and then you'd go around a turn and kind of go off a little. So you'd kind of have to dial a little bit more. It's like the old TVs. Anybody have rabbit ear antennas? Anybody remember the rabbit ear antennas? I got to be the kid that walked up and adjusted the antennas just so, and then, you know, kind of picked your foot up and held your arm up in the air, and there, all right, I got it in, don't move. And stand there while the football game's going on. Yeah, it's a good game. One time my brother Bart, he invented a thing that would interrupt the signal to the TV, and it would just bring static. And so he thought it'd be funny. My dad's watching football, and my brother Bart went outside of the house, and he turned on his little device, and the thing went all psh. And he's like, that's funny. And then he got found out. And so ever since then, whenever the signal went out, he's like, Bart, Bart. And boy, he said, I wish I'd never done that. So you got to tune it in. You got to get that dialed in, and you got to get it just so. You got to get tuned in. The Bible says that blessed is the man that, in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor citizen is seen as scornful. Sometimes tuning in means I got to put these things that are going to drown out the voice of wisdom. I'm going to get these people, this person who's sitting, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, or standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. These guys are going to create static for me. I can't hear God. These guys are going to create a loud cacophony of noise. I can't hear them. They're going to distract me so that I can't see him. They're going to keep me from being able to draw closer to God. The Bible says that draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. But if I'm hanging out with the ungodly, if I'm hanging out or standing in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of the scornful, I am not drawing closer to God. I'm hanging in the wrong crowd that's going to create a noise that's going to keep me from hearing what God has to say. Wisdom is crying in the streets. And I got to get away from those. Then I'm going to delight in the law of the Lord. Once I understand that these guys are going to keep me away from God, I got to get into what God said in His Word. I got to delight in the law of the Lord. Meditate. I got to think about it. We got to think about it. Now, I'm a person who likes talk radio, and I'm not against talk radio. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to it. I have it on often when I'm driving down the roads, but sometimes I'll just turn it off, and I'll just try to think about something I read in the Bible. I just want to think about something God's doing in my life. I just want to think about what I need to do, because I want to be tuned in to hear what wisdom has to say. And sometimes when I'm chewing on a thought and chewing on a thought, I may be starting off in the wrong direction, but the Holy Spirit can take that and bring me and point me out in the right direction, because I just tuned in to the right thing. I kind of shut off these distractions, the counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners, the seed of the scornful, and I'm tuning into it. Once I've tuned into it, that's not quite good enough, right? There's a lot of people who read this book and come up with some of the strangest conclusions you could ever imagine. And 2 + 2 does not equal 4 in their world, I promise you. So just tuning in isn't good enough, because you're going to have to obey. You're going to have to read the Word of God. And when God teaches you something and puts it on your heart and says, you're going to have to make some changes here. You've got a problem with that. Or I want you to see the world a little differently, because this is how I want it. Then you've got to obey it. And sometimes obeying it may seem a little strange. Think about Moses. The nation of Israel had left Egypt. They'd crossed the Red Sea. They're wandering in the wilderness. And they got to a place that was just infested with snakes. Eastern Oregon, if you go out there very often, there are some places that are infested with rattlers, rattlesnakes, poisonous snakes. They bite you. You will get sick, could even die. And so they were infested with snakes. And people were getting bit. They were dying. And so God told Moses, He said, Moses, I want you to take and make a bronze serpent. By the way, the symbol of a doctor on the staff with a snake going around it, bronze serpent on a staff. Guess where that came from? There you go. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on the staff, and he held it up. And they were told everybody, if you get bit by a poisonous snake, I want you to look at that bronze staff, and I want you, and it'll be okay. Now, you're a doctor. You're a person of science. You understand how chemistry works. You understand how the body works. And so when you get bit by a snake, if you look at a bronze serpent, that's the cure, right? Wrong. That seems like a silly thing. That seems like a nonsensical thing. But God said, look and you'll live. And He had a reason for that, but nobody could understand that reason yet, except that all you knew is that God told me to look at that serpent and live. So you've got two people. You got one guy standing there, and he's going to just do what God said to do. He's going to follow the instructions, and he gets bit by a snake, and he goes, where's the serpent? Where's the serpent? There it is. I see it. Okay, I'm all right. I'm not going to die. The person next to him goes, man, that is so stupid. Why would you look at something like that? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There's no science behind it. There's no logic to it. I can't believe that. And then he gets bit by a snake. And he goes, ow, see, I'm going to prove to you. You don't have to look at that thing and live. And you'll see that snake isn't going to kill me. And then he falls over dead. Why'd it work? Because God said so. Sometimes obeying doesn't always have to make sense. It's just a matter of doing what God said. There's no way when Moses made that serpent that he understood that that was a representation of Jesus Christ, who said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If we look to the cross that Jesus was lifted up on, we will live or have eternal life. That bronze serpent represented a coming Jesus and what he was going to do on the cross to give us a way to go to heaven. Moses didn't know that was the case. All he knew was make the bronze serpent. People who watched, who saw the snakes bite them, all they knew was, I just got to look at that and live. And now we look back, and it's easy to understand how that was a prophecy, an example of what was going to come for Jesus Christ. And so we just need to simply obey, because once we've learned how to tune in, and once we get on board and start obeying, everything will start making sense. And then when wisdom, which is in the gates, which is in the high places on the pathways, kind of like standing on a fence along the way where you're walking, and it's crying out. You're going, that makes sense to me. I understand why Moses was supposed to make that bronze serpent. I get it now. I didn't understand it then, but I get it now. I don't know why I had to live my life like God said. I didn't understand why living a moral life will give me a better chance at marriage in the future. But I get it now. It makes sense to me now. I didn't understand it then. Why I didn't understand why, you know, being a person, following what God said in the Word, Bible, was going to help me so much. But as I give in and I obey, it makes sense now. It may not make sense at the time, but if we just learn to obey, it will make sense. Probably one of the more common areas for young Christians I see is tithing. One man came to me and he said, you know, I never understood. I still don't quite get it, why it works, but it just seems to work. I give my tithe, I give my 10%, and it just always seems to work out. I don't know why, but it just always does. God promised it would. It doesn't make sense. How can I get more money by giving it away? But it works. Why? Because God said it would. So we're going to get tuned in. Jesus was on the cross. He said, Father, glorify thy name. And then there came a voice from heaven, the Bible says, John chapter 12, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by him heard it and said that it thundered. They weren't tuned in. All they heard was just a noise. Others said an angel spake to him. They didn't get what was happening. But God understood it. He told us what it was, and he told us what he said because they were tuned in. What do you hear when wisdom is standing on the high places by the paths? What do you hear when it's standing by the gates? And are you tuned in, and are you obeying? Because the Bible says those who aren't, they wrong their own soul. The Bible says they that hate me, wisdom, love, death. Right?